My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I hope people on the stream are messing with us.
Oh.
They said they can't hear us, and if they can't, that's on them. It actually would be on us, but, you know, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Okay.
Anyways. Good morning, everybody. I'm Kyle. That's James. The Sacramento Kings lost last night to the Miami Heat. And you know what, James? I'm going to stick to my word. We're going to break the game down. We're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some short-term things, long-term things that came up in that game that are worth discussing as the Kings move forward on this February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
An inch closer to the postseason. However, had this game not been in Miami and literally been in any other city, I would have come in today and been like, "This." And maybe they haven't earned the benefit of the doubt, this benefit of the doubt that I'm going to give them.
Yeah.
But I'm giving them the BOD here.
Mm.
That they had an extra day in Miami. They enjoyed themselves. They're a basketball team that's 9 games over .500. They're confident they're going to make the playoffs. And they took January 30th to enjoy themselves. And maybe that's what happened. And that's what I'm going to bank on. So last night's game where they just didn't quite bring it and they lost to a team that was desperate and trying to fight their way out of a 7-game losing streak. I'm giving them the BOD here, the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to go, wow, this is a sign that this team doesn't show up in big games and this can't do this and they didn't get to 10 over and oh, that could have been a 5-game winning streak and this. Nope. They lost a game in Miami after having a day off in Miami. That happens a lot. It's called the Miami flu. That's a thing. And that's what I'm chalking this one up to.
You're going to chalk it up to that?
That's it. You're getting the benefit of the doubt from me. I'm giving them a pass for this one.
You're just saying, okay, it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, now losing, like they lost to Portland and to, here we go. We got our engineer. He's going to fix the audio on the stream. When you lose to Portland and you lose to Charlotte, when you lose those games, that I'm not giving you a pass in really any circumstance. There's not a scenario where you're like, yeah, hey, you know what? Losing to a Charlotte team that hasn't won in forever. Good morning, stream. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Jonathan. Shout out to Jonathan Nurse, our engineer. He's one of the very best. We're working on some changes with the layout of our show. I will hopefully next week be in the room that James is in, and we will be doing the show in there together. So we're messing with some stuff this morning, and I think an audio setting got switched that needed to get switched back. So good morning, YouTube. Good morning, Twitch. We appreciate all of you watching and listening there. And thank you, everybody, of course, listening on the radio and the free Odyssey app. So you can't, just to get back to my point, you can't go lose to Charlotte and Portland, and you can't get blown out twice by the Rock. Like, all those bad losses are still bad losses. This one, I can't get there, man.
Yeah, I'm going to take, like, this 7-game losing streak and just throw it out the window. Like, the Miami Heat are a much better team than they had been playing. And they had just made a change. They just made a big trade. And, you know, like, they're a team in flux, and sometimes that happens. And then you get a team like the Kings that go in there. Like, look, the Kings just missed shots. Like, that's mm-hmm. it. Like, they missed shots. Like, was there an energy issue from a couple of the players? Yes, there absolutely was an energy issue.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a problem with the team forgetting about Keegan Murray? Yes, there is a problem. That's a problem that has happened multiple times this year.
Yep.
Where this kid goes nuts and for 21 points in the first half, and then you forget about him for a quarter mm-hmm. and a half. And like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess at some point you can't keep having these mistakes, but I too felt like this game, out of all the games that they've lost, was one of those contests where if they just at any moment would have caught fire, they would have been just fine, but they didn't. And, you know, that's it. Like, you couldn't hit a shot. And sometimes that happens. And I know, you know, they shot 12 of 40 from three. Sure.
They should have done.
They should have shot less threes, but Harrison Barnes going 0 for 6, De'Aaron Fox going 1 of 8, you know, like that, Malik Monk 0 for 4, your bench not showing up at all. You know, it is what it is.
The audio on the stream is still not working. It's fine. It's fun. I'm gonna just write on the whiteboard what we're talking about. I think that there are some things you can definitely pull away from this game. We'll dive into these. Of course, we'll have James' 6 quick thoughts coming up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing is, this is a star-driven league. Your stars have to be stars. We talk about this with the 49ers all the time. Mm-hmm. Your A players have to play like A players. And De'Aaron Fox last night was non-existent. And honestly, when we talked about the whole, you know, avoid the Miami flu, this and that, when we talked about that, that is like 60% tongue-in-cheek, but 40% also like, hey, there's probably going to be some guys who go out and enjoy themselves and are not in peak physical basketball condition.
Yeah.
By the time game time comes around. And that's fine. That happens. Literally, this is not a Kings-related issue. This is just an NBA-wide thing. But I thought about this yesterday, and it's like, De'Aaron of all players is the last guy I'm worried about there. De'Aaron is the last guy that I'm worried about not showing up for a game where they're trying to go to 5 over. He had his struggles earlier this month, and now he'd kind of broken out of it a little bit, and he started to look more like himself. And then last night, he just wasn't good. And I shouldn't say wasn't good. He's one of the best players in the league. He wasn't good enough.
Well, no, he wasn't good at all last night.
Okay. I didn't want to be super harsh.
We can't sugarcoat it. I mean, you scored 13 points on 4 of 16 from the field. Like, get to the rim. Figure it out. Get to your spot in the key. Like, I'm okay. Like, he goes 1 of 8 from 3. Like, you got to keep trying it because you are a good three-point shooter now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, man, you've got to figure out a way to break through, to get your team going the right direction. And I just felt like it wasn't just Fox. Whatever's going on with Malik Monk, it's the same thing. Malik Monk comes in the game and, you know, like it just wasn't good, man. Malik Monk ran a negative 16.
And he was actively bad.
Yeah, in 14 minutes.
I think he had 3 turnovers in his first 2 minutes.
He had 3 turnovers in the game. He finishes with 6 points, but the biggest thing that he finished, 6 points, Kyle, 0 assists. Like, this team got away from who they were, and having Malik Monk not be able to figure out, mm-hmm. like, what's going on with his game over the last 6 games is a bit of a concern.
No doubt.
But, you know, again, we've seen this before. This is, you know, we've seen him from Kevin Huerter. We've seen him from Malik Monk last year.
Mm-hmm.
Players go through stretches where they lose their legs. They go through stretches where you know, whether they're distracted or they're burned out or the trade deadline's coming or whatever it is, there's all kinds of things that are happening here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that at the end of the day, this is a one-off. And as much as the four-game win streak was nice to see, this is why you don't put too much stock in win streaks and losing streaks right before the trade deadline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your team is what they are, and you need to act accordingly.
Yeah. And when your star player is going for 13 points on 1 of 8 from 3 and 4 of 16 from the field, I mean, A, you're just not going to win on a lot of nights where that happens regardless. But I everything we talked about yesterday, chance to get to 10 games over, chance to make it 5 wins in a row and really put that losing streak behind you and really get a chance to actually get momentum going into February where it's like, okay, now February, March, and then, you know, the first week and a half of April, that's like crunch time now. Like now you're jockeying for seeding. Now you're doing all this. And we've discussed this a million times as they've dropped these games that they probably shouldn't. We've talked about it like, dude, there's seeding at stake. That 5, 6, 7, 8 in the West is pretty jumbled. And, you know, last night, like I said, I'm gonna give them a pass. I'm not gonna make this a referendum on their mindset as a team or whatever. Things happen in the NBA. But it's disappointing, I think, because it looked early on like they were just going to get smoked. They were down, 15 in the second quarter, and the Heat went on this huge run. And it's just like, okay, here it is.
Yeah.
The Kings are going to, the Heat are going to roll them, chalk it up, whatever. But then they battled back, and it was just there. It was like there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't make enough plays. And regardless of what the rest of the season looks like, that's frustrating. And I think that starts to me with number 5.
Yeah. No, I mean, everybody has to be better, but at a certain point, you need your leader to take, like, the reins. And I watched Domantas Sabonis have a really, really frustrating start to the game where he could not hit a shot at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody put a lid on the basket or forgot to take a lid off the basket to start the game. But then he kept battling. And, you know, you finish, your star center finishes with 19 points and 13 assists and 17 rebounds. You should win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he outplayed his competition. And sure, Bam is a good player, and Bam had a solid night.
Mm-hmm.
The better center showed up. We talked about that yesterday. Who's going to show up? Which of the centers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sabonis showed up, man.
But yeah, he played well.
He needs more people to show up. And I think right now we're in a phase of the season where we have certain games where you're waiting for 5, 6 guys to show up. You're getting 1 or 2 to start the game, and they're dragging the team along, or they're at least keeping the team in the game, and they're waiting for someone else to figure it out.
Yeah.
And in this game, no one else stepped up and figured it out. Tough.
Yeah, I mean, Keegan Murray was really good.
Yeah.
Take 33 points from Keegan Murray, but we'll talk about that more later. I thought Deuce made a great point on the post game, or Deuce Mason on NBC Sports, but he mentioned 33 points is great for Keegan Murray. Like, that is outstanding.
Yep.
But he had 21 in the first half. There's a mindset there where, hey, you're looking around and going, I have 21. No one else is really doing anything. I'm going for 40 plus tonight. Team needs me tonight.
Yeah.
And in the second half, he goes for 12 points and was very, very passive.
Well, in the 12 points, I think 6 of them came on late threes.
Yeah, where it was kind of over already.
Yeah, I mean, the game was like almost out of reach, and he put in a couple of threes near the end.
Yeah.
And there comes a point here, Kyle, where he has to demand the ball. And we need to transfer from this moment where, you know, the team is pushing Keegan Murray to be better and, like, to shoot more and to be more engaged. Like, come on, you can do this, to the point where when he is hot like that, he needs to stand up and huddle and say, hey, feed me. I'm rolling. Let's go.
Yeah.
When you're on the court, no. I'm running this play. You shift to the corner. I'm running this play.
Yeah.
I'm the guy tonight. Let's go.
You're almost all the way through your second season, man. Like, it's time to put the big boy pants on.
It is. And look, he's been really good, but this is the next step.
Mm-hmm.
This is a step that has to happen for him to reach greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And until he does that, he's still going to be like a third scorer, and you need that next step.
You know, I think those first 10 or so minutes were some of the best radio we've ever done. And, you know, shame to anybody who missed it. Anybody who couldn't hear those first 10 minutes, I really, really feel bad for you. Those were electric. Shout out to the Chatty House. Welcome in to the show, everybody. YouTube, Twitch are back. Shout out to Jonathan. He got us all fixed. He got us all squared away. We will give you your Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. After the break, we'll have James' six quick thoughts after the break, and then you're going to want to hear what De'Aaron Fox had to say about going to the All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
It is fascinating insight into De'Aaron Fox as a player and as a person. We'll hear that a little bit later on as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, before we get to six quick thoughts, I saw Lance Stevenson's name in the Chatty House. Not that he's in the Chatty House, but is like an option for the Kings. Can we not? Like, just let's be serious. Let's be serious. That's all. That's all I want. Just be serious.
Yeah, I know Paul Westphal used to say, if I say no comment, it's a comment. So I'm just going to move on.
Yeah, you know what? He's right. It's one of my least favorite things on the internet is when somebody posts something and is like, presented without comment. Like, okay, but no, but you're now commenting.
Yes, you did comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that one time and my buddy texted me and he's like, but you made a comment. Like, you're saying what you feel about this by saying that.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to hear what James Hamm felt about the game last night. Here's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Bad.
Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Yeah, here they are.
I feel like for this music, I need to be driving a 1978 Camaro with a T-top.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting the wind blow. You know,
1,000%.
Yeah, it's got that vibe.
Yeah, with some like aviator sunglasses and a leather jacket on.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
I think I just described a scene in Top Gun, but that's fine. That's fine. All right. First quick thought from the Kings loss, 115-106 last night in Miami.
Flamethrower. Keegan Murray looked like a player that went to bed early to avoid the South Beach flu.
Yeah, he did.
21 points in the first half, 33 points before the but 33 points for the game. He added 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. I think he might have got up to 6 rebounds, and I just did, no, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 assists. He looked good. Sabonis looked okay. No one else did.
Yeah. Yeah, and Keegan Murray, he's going to be our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Keegan. So it is, let me make sure, you know what? I did not get that over to our promotion staff. I will do that right now. The keyword is going to be Keegan. It's not there yet. I will let you know as soon as that's good to go.
All right.
We'll officially announce what the keyword is later. It's not going to be Keegan, but we will officially announce the keyword in a second. Yeah, man, it's one of the big picture things from last night that matters the most to me is these Keegan games are not. It feels like we're getting a big Keegan game once a week now, or a couple times a week instead of once every month.
No, I totally agree. And I would also point out that Keegan Murray played defense and he had to take on a couple of really difficult covers last night. But most of the time he was looking at like Tyler Hero and and some of the other guys that they kept running in, you know, Jaime Jaquez. Josh Richardson. Right. So the reason I bring this up is that Jimmy Butler went crazy. I would have liked to have seen Keegan Murray shift over and defend Jimmy Butler more.
Mm-hmm.
But it also highlights one of the issues this team has is that they don't have two Keegan Murrays to play defense.
Yeah.
They need a second Keegan Murray on the defensive end.
Yep. I'm right there with you, man. I mean, Miami shooting 13 of 28 from three.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, just kept hitting them, man. Yeah. Kept hitting them.
All right, number two.
Lost and found.
Number two.
Lost and found. Kevin Huerter spent the first half of the season searching. He appears to have come through the darkness and is contributing at a high level once again. Finished with 14 points, 2 of 6 from 3, chipped in 3 rebounds, 3 assists. His defense is better. His vibe on the court is better. Mm-hmm. He did start out, I think, 2 of 3 or 2 of 4 from 3, mm-hmm. and it would have been nice if he would have hit a couple more. But I think he's active, and he looks like the player that you saw last year, which I think we had forgotten what he looked like when he was playing well.
Yeah, and we talked a lot about that when he was struggling shooting. We were going, yeah, but he's still active. Look, he had 6 rebounds last night. He had this good defensive play. But I'm sorry, Kevin Huerter being active is not good enough. He's got to be scoring too.
Yep.
And so to see that side of his game coming around, that I think long-term bodes well for Sacramento.
Yep.
Number 3.
Slow start, big finish. Domantas Sabonis was not great early in the game. He missed a whole bunch of shots. Yep. He finishes with 19 points, 13 assists, and 17 rebounds. I think I'll point out the assists. He had half of the Kings' assists. Kings finished with 26 assists, and it's really tough to get 13 assists when your team shoots 44% from the field or 30% from three. But sure enough, I thought he was effective. He was impactful, and he needed other players to step up. I also want to point out he finished with 0 personal fouls, and to me, that's pretty impressive for a guy that is known as a foul guy around the league.
Yeah. Yeah. He was I was impressed by the way he went at Bam Adebayo last night, mm-hmm. And did not shy away from contact, didn't shy away from trying to get to the rim, didn't settle for, you know, little 8-foot baby hooks or anything like that. He was trying to do what he does offensively and still play to his strengths offensively. And frankly, that's what I would like to see more of in those spots and in big spots from him.
Yeah, he hit another 3, and he's really worked on becoming a much better 3-point shooter. So I'd also point out he did pick up his 13th triple-double of the season. Mm-hmm. He is just 1 triple-double behind Jokic. We'll get to that stat later. He also leads the league in double-doubles with 42, 1 above Jokic.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely the triple-double thing is my current obsession.
Yeah.
I am fascinated by the stat we'll give you coming up in a little bit. It is I can't stop thinking about it because I genuinely don't have a good answer. So I look forward to talking about it with you and the Chatty House. And if you want to chime in, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320 if you want to call and join the program. Real quick, the Miami Heat, speaking of assists,
mm-hmm.
38 assists on 42 made buckets.
Absolutely crazy.
That is that's nuts.
And I actually think they took away 2 assists, I believe. I think that they finished with 40 per NBA.com last night to 42 baskets. Maybe that changed. Maybe they recalibrated.
Oh my God.
And oh no, you're right. They took away 2 assists overnight.
Okay.
So at the end of the game, it was 40 assists to 42 made buckets. Sharing is caring.
That's...
Yeah, that spoke volumes about the Kings being a step slow the whole night.
Number 4.
The Kings need De'Aaron Fox to look like the player who carried them through the first half of the season. He never quite looked right in this one. 13 points, 4 of 16 shooting, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Just not enough. Not enough. I don't know what's going on there, but he needs to figure it out.
If he was 20% better last night, they win. If... And then that dovetails into number 5.
Malik Monk's struggles have reached 6 games. Six-man of the year candidate struggled with a shot, but at least through most of these games, at least he was passing. And this one, he finished with 6 points, 0 assists, and 3 turnovers. He just does not look like himself at all. And I don't know how else to say it. Like he's really, really struggling with basics, mm-hmm. and it just looks like he needs a mental break. Like he needs to go hang out in a yurt for a week. Like just hang out, just chill.
A yurt specifically?
Yeah, just
not a tent, not a hotel.
Just decompress.
Needs to be in a yurt.
Yeah, he needs he needs to sit there and just like meditate for a week.
Yeah, man. I said if De'Aaron Fox was 20% better last night, they win. If Malik Monk was 30% better, they win. They needed something from either of those guys. Malik Monk is a player that I believe is their most important player. De'Aaron Fox is their best player. And when both of those guys aren't showing up, I don't have a ton of confidence that the Kings are going to beat a lot of teams.
No.
Or any team would beat any teams when they're 2 top guys.
Well, an average Malik Monk night, an average night by Malik Monk, the Kings won that game. Yeah. If he's just his normal self, because you got to look at the assist numbers, that's big.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he didn't set up anyone to finish at the rim, you know, not great.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the Miami flu got him.
Oh, maybe.
That was my big question last night.
Yeah.
He just came in. I think he had 2 turnovers in 2 minutes. Like, oh boy.
Yeah, you saw it like right away. And it was like, not focused at all. Like, just couldn't dribble the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number six.
Bad bench minutes.
Sorry, bad what?
Bench minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got a little nasally. Okay.
We did do red button. We did do the red button training today. Bad bench minutes.
Layer one, big red button up top.
There we go. Monk is a lightning rod for the second unit. He looked out of sorts, but the rest of the Kings bench just spun their tires. Josh Richardson outscored the Kings bench on his own, finishing with 24 to just 18 points for the Kings. The Kings bench was crushed, 47-18. 47-18.
It's not going to get it done, guys.
No, in a game that you lost by 9 points.
Oof. Yeah.
Not great.
Man. All right. I'm shook now.
You're shook?
I am. I can't believe you just said that. All right. That's James' six quick thoughts. Could be sponsored by you.
Could be.
Rich.Ripley@Odyssey.com if you want to sponsor that segment. Did you hear what De'Aaron Fox had to say about making or not making the All-Star game?
Yeah, I did.
It's fascinating. Let's talk about it next.
On par.
On ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm not going to do it. I was going to bring the Chatty House break to the air.
We should just totally flame Chuck.
Oh, you want to? Okay.
Yeah,
Chuck. Okay. All right. Chuck Lee sucks.
Yeah, Chuck Lee.
If that is your real name.
Yeah.
Charles.
Charles. We got a guy in the Chatty House who's just trolling everyone who might know Sacramento or like Sacramento. He just thinks he knows something about Sacramento that others don't. So I don't know. I can tell you this.
It's a great airport. I'm a big fan of the Sacramento airport.
It's got a huge rabbit.
The big ass rabbit.
It is a big rabbit. Yeah. Like, there is a lot to like about living in Sacramento. How about the weather? It's some of the best weather in the world.
Really good weather.
Yes.
Like, farm to fork, capital of the world.
I know.
Like, farm directly to fork. Come on.
They farm it. They put it on a fork.
And then you fork it.
Sacramento has a ton of redeeming qualities. I don't know.
I love this city, man.
Like, this is a very, very cool city.
You ever been to the farmer's market downtown?
I've been to, you know, there's farmer markets everywhere.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, I like the outlining areas, too. There's all kinds of stuff to do.
Someone said nobody hates rabbits. Tell that to Elmer Fudd.
Yeah. Elmer Fudd hates rabbits.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. City of trees, baby.
Facts. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Downtown, so much. Dude, Doko, that whole area.
Yeah, that's cool.
Great vibe.
Yeah.
Love it down there.
It does have a good vibe. And you know, there's a lot of restaurants. This is a really nice foodie place. If you like good food.
Really good food.
You know, shout out to like places like The Kitchen, who has a Michelin star. And there's a couple of big time spots, Crew and... Like,
we got Bennett's right here. I mean,
yeah,
technically
we got
it's Roseville,
Bennett's right
but
down the street.
Fine.
Yeah, but this is still Roseville. I think it's sort of urban sprawl, right?
Sure.
So, but I'm okay with that. I mean, it's a great city.
Yeah.
You can see, look out our windows and see the mountains, snow-covered
Odyssey,
mountains.
Sacramento, you get 1320, ESPN 1320, you get 106.5 The End, you got KSFM.
Yeah,
come on.
We have all kinds of stuff here, man.
98 Rock, you get the Eagle.
I don't even know what's going on. Like, for someone to like come into a Sacramento chat, like a chat attached to a Sacramento show, and just bag on the city. I don't know. I was born and raised in this area, so.
Bro, let me tell you, I was neither born nor raised here.
Yeah.
I started going to college here in 2008.
Okay.
I would go home during my first two summers, and then went. I'll just live there during the summer.
Hmm.
And so I came up here during the summers and then I lived here until I graduated. I moved to Arizona for a couple of years. I made my way back to the Bay Area, but started working again in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And eventually started living again in Sacramento.
Hmm.
And now I work here again. Like, I just keep coming back, man.
Well, hey, I was
I
born
in this city, bro. I am such a huge fan.
I was born in at Sutter Memorial, which is no longer in existence. They tore it down a couple of years ago. But I grew up in Grass Valley, and it like this is when you tell people when you're traveling and you're in another country, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you live? I live above Sacramento. Like, that's what I tell people. I live a little bit above Sacramento, California. I'm like 45, 50 minutes up the hill. Mm-hmm. But like, that's still part of this like incorporated area. It's still part of the television network.
The greater Sacramento area.
Yeah, yeah. And man, there's a lot of great stuff around Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan.
I say we just block Chuck Lee in the chat, and we don't give him a place to go and put his Sacramento hatred out there.
Right.
I mean, this is where Jim Boy's Tacos was established.
I lived by Sac State for a while, like up Folsom a little bit.
Okay,
up that road, kind of behind
Folsom Boulevard.
Sac State. Yeah,
yeah,
Folsom Boulevard. Thank you. I lived up over there. You know where the Raley's is on Folsom Boulevard?
Sort of.
Lived right back there.
Okay.
Kind of backwards along La Riv, it's a thing. And then I lived over in Arden, and I lived in Natomas.
I lived off of Fulton and Cottage for...
Oh, and I lived at Sac State,
when we
obviously.
first got married.
Oh, Fulton and Cottage, of course. In the apartments down there?
No, we had a little flat roof house.
Oh, okay. My buddy lived in apartments off Fulton Cottage. There was a Starbucks there because I lived off Fulton and Elvira.
Okay.
And there was a Starbucks on Fulton Cottage that I would frequent.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were the homies.
All right.
Big fan. When I left, when I moved down to Arizona, they gave me a reusable to-go cup and was like, signed it. It was nice.
Wow.
It was nice. Shout out to the Starbucks on Fulton Cottage. And shout out to De'Aaron Fox, who doesn't want to go to the All-Star game. Let me read you the quote.
Yeah, let's hear
it. I got the quote for you. Because we literally, yesterday, we were talking about this. Like, man, if you were Domantas Sabonis, and you were going to be an injury replacement, would you want to go? Like, that was the whole premise.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what De'Aaron Fox said to Chris Biederman in the Sacramento Bee, and you can read this at sacbee.com. Quote, I don't really care about being an all-star, plus Indiana's cold.
It is.
End quote. And then he said, when asked to elaborate, he said, quote, I don't really have an answer for that. I can't control the way I feel about things. And I think it's fascinating that great job by Chris, who co-hosts one of the world's finest podcasts, Candlestick Chronicles. I think it's fascinating that A, that De'Aaron would say that publicly, but B, that's how he feels, because we make such a thing out of the All-Star game, and the NBA makes such a thing out of the All-Star game, right? And you go down as a 10-time All-Star, like, damn, that guy was a 10-time, he was an All-Star. And De'Aaron Fox looks to be on track to be that kind of player, where, dang, end of his career, he's a 10, 11-time All-Star. But then he sits there and he's like, nah, don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, I watched the way that he made the All-Star team last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've known De'Aaron since he was 19 years old, right? I've interviewed him hundreds of times over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about him is he feels that way. He doesn't want to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he does want the respect that comes with it. He does believe. So when he did get into the All-Star game last year, his quote to us was, well, it's about time. And it's like, yeah, I knew that if we won games, I would get into the All-Star game, because that's the way the mm-hmm. NBA works. There's a mechanism in place here that you make it to this level, you get into the All-Star game. But the reality of getting on a plane and going to Utah, you could see from the moment he stepped on the court, like, get me out of here. I do not want to do this. And this comes back a little bit to the fact that De'Aaron is an introvert, right?
Mm-hmm.
The All-Star weekend is about it's about getting carted, like thrown on a bus or in a really nice car and moved from one location to the mm-hmm. next, to the next, to the next, to the next.
So people can talk at you.
Signing autographs, going in to like build a house. Like they have, you know, Habitat for Humanity stuff. They have all of these community events. They have to go to like signings and picture takings and like all of this stuff.
And this doesn't even include the media responsibilities in game.
Well, that, but there's also like shoe companies are there. There are parties mm-hmm. that you have to go to. You have to make appearances at. Like, it is draining for these guys. It's not a 3-day weekend break. And that's why even I think last year, Keegan Murray ended up leaving right after like the rookie,
the Rising Stars Challenge.
Yeah, the Rising Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he took off like the next morning and was on a plane somewhere else. Like, players need to get away. An 82-game schedule is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I just don't know that it helps him to advertise it this way, because the decision's already made. Like TNT already has a mm-hmm. briefcase, and somebody at TNT already knows everybody that's going to be.
Yeah.
They've already cut all of the little promos for each player.
Right.
Like, it's already done. So there's a good chance he's an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
But this does, in a way, cheapen the event. At least from him. Like, he doesn't want to be there.
Real quick. The players have already done that, though. Like, that's why the NBA is trying to change the rules to make it a competitive game again.
Yeah.
Because like, it is, I mean, you got 160-something to 170-something. Like, it's already a fake basketball game.
It's a fake basketball game, but they do that because the players don't want anyone getting hurt.
Sure.
You know, what you don't want to do is, you know, what Paul George was doing, like a Team USA thing when he snapped his leg.
Yeah.
Like, this is something where you're trying to have a good time, put on a little bit of a show, show mm-hmm. people what you can do. What I don't see De'Aaron Fox doing is like what Mitch Richmond did in the 1990s, where he goes to All-Star Weekend and he wins the MVP. Like, Fox mm-hmm. doesn't have it. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
And to me, it's okay that he doesn't care. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it doesn't really help him to actually say that. And because next year, if he is put up for an All-Star, if this is where, you know, if he is a multi-time All-Star here,
mm-hmm.
it's possible he doesn't get in. And then where are
you? But he doesn't care. And if he's making all NBA teams and the Kings are going to the playoffs, like, I honestly, we're going to talk about Steve Clifford later and what he said about his Hornets team.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the honesty here, and that De'Aaron doesn't go like, oh yeah, it's a great honor to be among the league's best competitor. Like, he does that every night. He's the best player on the floor most nights already.
Yeah.
I don't think he has to prove anything by going to Indiana and playing 9 minutes in an All-Star game.
Yeah, the only thing I would like respond is that people remember this.
Mm-hmm.
That you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. this is not something that you just say and then it's no longer a big deal. It, like, this could linger, and again, next season you might not be given an All-Star bid because of it, and the next season after that you might not be an All-Star. And, like, look, the people who vote you into All-NBA,
mm-hmm.
they may remember that. The guys that vote you into the Hall of Fame down the road, they may remember that you're ambivalent to this and that you don't really care. And, you know, like, I think that's part of it. Like, Fox is going to get paid no matter what, right? He is. He's going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's, like, one of the focuses for him has always been, like, look, I want to set up my family for the rest, mm-hmm. not only my family, but, like, generational wealth, mm-hmm. which he's establishing right now. I mean, he's got his Under Armour deal now. He's got a gigantic contract that mm-hmm. it's only going to get bigger.
Yes.
But in order for him to maximize his money, he needs to be all NBA again, because you go from 30% of the cap to mm-hmm. 35% of the cap if you're all NBA.
Right.
For two years in a row.
But okay, so let me take this out to its conclusion then, because you're positing that this is bad for De'Aaron, him saying this publicly.
I just don't, like, you can have that opinion, but I don't know that sharing it helps you.
Okay.
So
we're drawing this out to its conclusion then. So out beyond just because if the argument is, well, now they're not going to make him an All-Star anymore. Well, he already has established that he doesn't care. So that's not a negative for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you saying that this is going to affect people now voting for him for all NBA?
I think it's possible because, again, like, voters, you do have, like...
He didn't say, I don't care about awards. I don't care about... He's just saying, I don't want to go hang out in Indiana for a weekend and go to the All-Star festivities.
But that's kind of the job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I get if he doesn't want to be part of that, it's okay for him to feel that way. And mm-hmm. and it's okay for him to say it, because now, I mean, it's probably going to become like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, do you think if you're the face of Under Armour, that Under Armour was really excited to read that Sacramento Bee quote yesterday?
No, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah.
Especially because he's under the Curry brand, right?
Yeah.
And Steph Curry is the guy out there always just saying the right thing, whether he believes it or not.
Yeah.
So that I understand. That I get. The one thing I would push back on the most here is that this would somehow impact his Hall of Fame chances. Because, A, whether he wants to go or not, I don't know that people are going to necessarily factor that in when it comes to fan voting. If he's averaging 30 a night and the Kings are 15 games over 500...
Yeah, like, but fan voting's never going to help him because he's in Sacramento. We finished like seventh in fan voting.
No, not if he continues doing this over the next few years and they're going to the playoffs every year and they're winning playoff series. Like, that's how you build that popularity. He's just not there yet.
No, okay.
So I don't even know if this is going to affect him All-Star wise specifically. And you mentioned Hall of Fame chances, and I go back to what I just said. If De'Aaron is this player, where he is, I'm not even going to say 30, 28, 29 points a game. And his three-point shooting continues to be as good as it is, and the Kings are going to the playoffs, and they're going to the conference finals, and they're going to the finals a few times over the next 6, 7, 8 years, whatever the length of his prime is going to be,
mm-hmm.
10 years, whatever. Then, like, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
No, probably, but you need a resume to get into the Hall of Fame, and this is part of it. Like, I'm not saying that because of this he's not getting in the Hall, but it is part of it. Mm-hmm. And So, like, I know he doesn't want to embrace it, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember what you're doing is when you're not endorsing something like this. This is the league.
Yeah.
This is a league's baby.
Yeah.
It's their showcase, and you don't want to be part of it.
You also, just to that point and make it a little more micro to Sacramento, you also have a marketing team that's been working their asses off to get people to go out and vote.
Yeah.
There are television commercials about it. They're putting up billboards at the games.
They gave me a lunchbox.
They're giving out lunchboxes and saying, hey, promote this. Get votes.
And then have him going,
it's a triple vote day. That would suck. You know what? That would suck. If I was out there with the Kings and putting together all these things, and De'Aaron's like, I don't even want to go. No, I think the other thing is I think there's an important context here where this is the response to, because we don't know if he's getting in yet or not. And I assume he is, but we don't know.
Yep.
And from his standpoint, it's like, I don't care that much to go. If I don't get in, I'm not going to lose sleep and flip a table. And, you know, Rudy Gobert, okay? Remember, Rudy Gobert cried. Like, that was something that was that meaningful to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, he wanted it and he didn't get in. And De'Aaron's not going to go do that. De'Aaron's not going to lose sleep over this.
No.
And I think that's an important context to this.
Yeah, like, the confidence of him and like, his want to be himself and to not want to buy into the machine that is like the self-promoting thing that is the NBA.
Right.
That's okay.
Sure.
It is. And you know, for that matter, like the NBA as a marketing machine has done nothing but disrespect him as a player for the first 6 years of his career.
No doubt.
It wasn't until year eight, where they're like, hey, let's put him on national TV 22 times. Before that, it was like, forget them. We don't even need to play him. So I could see that being another thing where it's like, look, you guys didn't want me for all this time, but now you want me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really down for it. I would rather have my week off. You guys got me for the first 6-7 years of my career. You let me have a week off in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did go to All-Star Weekend for like the rookie challenge, the rookie sophomore game.
Yeah,
but outside of that, I think there's a certain part of this where you're like, I don't really know that you wanted me as part of your club, and now that we're one of the cool kids, you want me part of your club, and I'm not really down for it because now I'm married and I've got a small child, and I want to be a dad for a week, and I want to be a husband and all these things, and take a break and let my body heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get it, but you know, putting it out there is a whole nother thing, because again, it becomes almost like the Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model.
Right.
You know, where it has every possibility of blowing up in your face.
And if you guys missed it in the Sacramento Bee today, Chris Biederman wrote about this with De'Aaron Vaux saying that he does not want to go to the All-Star game. The full teams will be announced later on today.
I should also
find out whether De'Aaron Vaux is or is not, in fact, an All-Star.
That's right. And I'm not roasting Vaux. I'm just being honest with you guys, and I will also tell you, Kyle, and I've said it many times, I don't want to go to the All-Star game. Like, you go once or twice and you're like, this is a mess. It's not fun. It's chaotic. There's no one-on-one time. The coolest thing about All-Star weekend is that there are Hall of Famers there, and there's a Hall of Fame ceremony where you go and like, I'm sitting there like walking up to Hakeem Olajuwon and interviewing him. That's the coolest thing for me.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's a mess. Nothing is like, you're in a big giant room with a whole bunch of players in the scrum, and then some local reporter asks every single player, if you were a Smoothie King smoothie, what flavor would you be? And then, you know what? They're so unoriginal that they aren't the only one asking that question. Now you got two people, because they missed it the first time it got asked, and it's like, it really does become unbearable. So I'm with De'Aaron. I don't want to go either. There it is.
All right. Dude, that's what I said about the Super Bowl, man. I'm going to go cover the Super Bowl. Not really. I don't have any work I need to do there.
That's funny.
It's something like All-Star Weekend, a Super Bowl, things like that. That's something I would like to experience at some point. Just to experience it and say I did it. But what you're describing just sounds awful.
Oh, no, it's not fun. There is no one-on-one time. They do not carve anything out for local media.
Real quick. Let me add this caveat. Awful from the standpoint of this job. In the grand scheme of things that you can do for work, it's not that bad.
No. And if someone wants to go to All-Star Weekend, like, go do it. It's fun, like, once or twice.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's busy. You might get to see the players and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not my world. And then, like, I went to New York.
As a work environment for this job.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh,
that
no.
sounds very difficult.
Yeah, they literally see if they can find like a broom closet to stick four media members in, like 350 feet off the floor, and then it's almost like disrespectful.
Yeah.
So like the national writers are all sitting front row and like, oh, they got great seats. Yeah, everybody else, like, sorry, we only have 13 seats and there's 57 of you, so most of you are going to have to stand around. Stand around with my laptop trying to write about something. Okay, like, why am I here? Why am I not just at the hotel?
Yeah,
there's not a lot of redeeming qualities, but hey, again, if I were a fan, I would want to go. It's a lot of fun, especially if you have kids. It's a lot of fun. They they put on a good show. There's concerts, there's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I think if someone said, like, if 1320,
mm-hmm.
You know what, let's say All-Star Games in Sacramento, or actually it's in Oakland or in San Francisco in 2 years.
Oh yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, right, because it's right there.
Yeah.
I would love to go to that as a person who does this specific job of talking on the radio.
Yeah.
Because I can go, I can enjoy it mostly as a fan, but then when it comes, you know, getting sound, recording stuff, taking video, posting on social, but not a thing where I have to, like, hey, I have to sit down and I have to write an AP style story about what I saw and heard, and oh, this news broke, and you're in New Orleans covering the Kings, and you find out, hey, in the midst of all this, DeMarcus Cousins is getting traded.
Okay, so I wasn't there for that. I went to the other All-Star game in New Orleans, but not that one, because they had back-to-back or 2 and 3 years, because we had the Charlotte situation where they passed the anti...
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the anti-LGBTQ legislation, mm-hmm. and the NBA pulled out of Charlotte.
Right.
And so I went to one of them. I was not at the DeMarcus Cousins thing, but
if you were,
yeah. Oh no, it was wild. Like, it's watching it play out. It's wild.
And now imagine you have to go find a place in this sea of people to get yourself in a place where you can, like, set a computer down and write.
Oh yeah.
Or you're holding it in one hand and trying to type.
Or you're trying to run back to your hotel or whatever. I mean, it is
pass, dude.
Yeah, in New York, it was negative 19. I think the coldest I've ever been in my entire life with wind chill factor.
That's the other thing. Figure it out. The NFL has the Super Bowl indoors, or in L.A.
Great weather cities,
or in Miami, or yeah, you know, or
San Francisco,
Santa Clara, sure.
Yeah.
When they do go to Minnesota, you know, it's indoors. NBA All-Star Weekend's like Cleveland, Indiana. Like, come on, dudes, figure it out.
Yeah. No, I mean, because a lot of the events are outdoors, and you know, they always say, "Oh, Sacramento, you don't have enough 4 and 5 star hotel accommodations." That's the reason why Sacramento can't get. But there's also another caveat: you don't really have the space to do some of these events, and it's like that's not true.
You can figure that out.
Look at the weather. The weather is gonna in February. The weather is perfectly fine here to do an event like that.
As we sit through an atmospheric river where it's pouring rain and whipping winds all night.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But it's still like a 50 degree. It's not 22 degrees or negative 19.
Yeah, I don't blame De'Aaron Fox, and I get everything that you're saying about how this could reflect, you know, negatively for him. But A, I don't blame him for feeling the way he does, and B, as a person whose job it is to react to these type of things, I very much respect when a player or coach is just like, here's what's on my mind, here's the brutally honest thing, instead of him going, would love to make it, it would be such an honor to play alongside other great players.
I respect it. I just think that if you were his PR person, you're just like... Come on.
But also, like, that's De'Aaron. Like, if you're his PR person, you gotta know that this is coming.
Yeah.
You gotta know at some point that he feels this way, and maybe you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe it's better to do this. You gotta know that he's just gonna he's going to say what at some point what he feels.
Yeah. No, no, I totally get it.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of honesty, we'll talk about Hornets head coach Steve Clifford later, who had some takes on his own team. That were wild and refreshingly honest.
Yeah, they were smoldering.
Just flambéed his own squad.
He had like the bellow thing, like like stoking the flames. Like
just full blown napalm.
Well, hey, this incredible. Is what happens. Yeah.
Hey, I jumped in the rundown, and you have speaking of flames, you have a take about the trade deadline based around last night's game.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not a player they should go get. This is not, you know, anything specific. But I thought it was very interesting what you had to say. And we'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports. Later.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.